episode 35. Get out of here, Satan.
That's crazy.
What up, everybody? First episode recording with the video. You know what I mean? We leveling up.
Yes,
all glory to God. We made it. Long way. Got a spooky little device, too. Both mics. Let's go. Holy Spirit's really moving in this place. Got the sick painting. Shout out my sister. Follow her on IG. It's tagged on our IG, 79 Cent Salvation. Give us a follow. DM us with any prayer requests. We're trying to post as much content as we can, you know what I'm saying? Spread that word. But let's start tonight's episode with just a moment of prayer, all right? So let's close your eyes, bow your heads. Dear Lord God, we just want to glorify you in this moment, God. Lord, we just want to honor your name, Lord Jesus, God. Lord, we ask the Holy Spirit to come into this moment, God. Lord, I just ask you that the Holy Spirit, Lord, would lead this time. Lord, that we would bring light and love to those that are listening, God, that your Holy Spirit would pour into them, God, that you would fill me and Chris, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just ask, Lord, that our Father, Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Lord. Lord, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, God. Lord, allow us to just focus on that tonight, God. Lord, that your good and perfect will prevail in all times, Lord. Through all situations, all struggles, all trials and storms, Lord God, you will always be the good, good Father, Lord. The power that you are, God. The protector and provider, Lord Jesus, that you have always been and will always be, Lord. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we thank you. In your almighty name we pray. Amen. All right, so I'm going to let Chris jump right into it tonight because this is his topic. He's locked and loaded, ready to go.
Hell yeah. All righty, so today we're going to be talking about God's sovereignty and God's power. And just to start, I'll start off with the definition. I got that from John Piper. Shout out John Piper.
JP.
And I wrote down, his will always be made complete. Nothing can stand to stop it. And that is the definition that I'm going to go by for the sovereignty of God. And before we get into it, I had a discussion with one of our elders at our church, and just about God's sovereignty. And I was asking him a bunch of questions last week, trying to get information for the podcast this week. And something that he told me was, if we could fully understand it, then would it really be God? Right? And that was something that I'm going to say before we get into it, that there is definitely more to be revealed. Read scripture for yourself, and you can find out, you know, all the nooks and crannies of God, right? That's crazy. Nooks and crannies.
Nooks and crannies.
Yeah, that sounds crazy.
A little willy-nilly.
Willy-nilly. That's willy-nilly, yeah. But that's the truth, is that God's power does leave questions, especially when we get into topics such as free will and coupling God's power with free will and all of these other things. So all I'm going to speak about tonight is what I know. And if it leaves you with questions, that's good. And all you should do with those questions is either talk to your pastor about them or get into the Word. Like, those are your best bets for learning more about. And it's good to have questions. It's not, you don't want to question God, but it's good to have questions, right, when you want to learn the person of God, right? And so if your heart posture is right, it is good to want to learn more. Okay, so starting with that, so basically how I'm like, I talked with Wally before, like, kind of what way does he plan on going with it, and he's going to go more Old Testament, reading through Exodus, and like last week we were going to record this, and we just got super busy and stuff, so it ended up, you know, God's will ended up not happening, and I'm glad it happened that way, because there's so much to talk about in God's sovereignty, and I was going to try to cram in a bunch of information in an hour, and I figured I might as well just plant the seed rather than try to grow the entire tree in an entire hour. So basically, though, my whole thing, right, like where I'm going to go with this, right, is, so when you read scripture, there's some people, I think, have this idea that when they hear about Old Testament, so when you read Old Testament, it's like all of these sinners, and it's like people see it as like God is trying to find a way to save us. And what I've really come to learn is that God knew when he made Adam that we were going to sin beforehand, And I know that because in the New Testament, what you read is God planned to save us before the foundation of the world. So before he even created man, he already had an escape route before man was even created, right? And so the real story of God is the glory of him. The Bible is written not necessarily for, right? It has all of its use for us, right? But there's the main purpose. It's the main character is God. It's not the people that are in the book. And when you read the Bible, right, that's something that started to stand out to me is God's power through these people, what he's doing with these people, and that these people aren't really that significant in any manner, but that God is very significant and that he wants this will to be taken out, right? He wants this will carried out, and it's all going to lead up to Jesus. And so I'm going to talk about the power of man on earth, right? What we actually saw when God became flesh and walked the earth with us. And so you'll see that through, right, casting out of demons a lot and through healings. When I used to read like New Testament scripture, I would see those things as like, just because you just see it over and over again. It's he cast out this demon, he saves this person, he saves that person, he cast out this demon. And I'd say like, throughout getting deeper into scripture, I found the significance of each individual healing and all of that. And I also learned about the wide scope of why there's so many in there, right? And about showing God's power over evil, basically. And so that's just my introduction to kind of what we're going to go into. And I don't know. Does that give you enough to go off, or do you want me to go a little deeper? No, you gotta go deeper. I'll go deeper?
Dig in. Let's get a little deeper.
Okay.
You got a lot written down there, so let's see what you got going on.
Yeah. So this is really the meat of what I wanted to kind of, what point I wanted to draw up is that God makes man, and man is evil. Mm. And then God loves man, so God tries everything in his power to where he can get back with man. Mm. Because he has to separate himself, and that's what you see in the story of Adam. Is that God has to separate himself from this evil, right? Satan's not going to live in heaven with God because they're polar opposites, right? It doesn't work. Heaven is made for holy, set-apart creatures. And so what ends up happening is when Jesus comes, it's the kingdom of God on earth. And so when we're seeing these demons being cast out, and that's really what I'm trying to get across, is that there's this strange idea in the head of people that I see of like this utter fear of Satan. I have no idea where it comes from, because God is so much more powerful than any demon or Satan or anything, right? And what I say about that is the evil trembled at the good. And so I'm gonna read Matthew 8:28-34. Are you getting stuff now?
Yeah.
He's starting to cook.
Cooking up.
I should have had that already open.
Yeah, but just while you're talking about that, while you're looking for that, I don't remember where it's at exactly, but it says that Jesus can defeat Satan with just one breath, you know? So, like, how you're talking about people give too much power to Satan, you know what I mean? Like, we can't let the image of Satan get greater than the image of God in our minds, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or else it'll be a lot easier to fall into those traps and schemes that Satan tries to pull us into.
No, absolutely.
And his goal is just to simply separate us from God. So the bigger Satan gets in our head, the more separate we get from God, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because then what are we doing? We're giving Satan glory, you know what I'm saying? Even though, just like I said,
but that's the trick.
One breath.
But that's the trick, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so in those moments,
evil is a lie. It's lying to people.
Yeah.
And it's easy to fall into.
Easy to get caught up in. And before you know it, you're running this crazy cycle in your head. You know, and just when I get in that place, I don't even have the words to speak or a prayer I can say. It's just simply by repeating the name of Jesus.
And there's something I'm going to, yeah, bro.
There's something, that's what I'm there's going something to go. So it's, calming about just saying Jesus.
Yeah,
just quietly saying just Jesus, Jesus, yeah. Jesus.
And that's just the power just of just
Holy
the name.
Spirit, just the name of God, my Father, my protector, my fortress, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's some type of comfort that has been placed over me to where those lies of the enemy, which sometimes they feel like screams.
Yeah.
It feels like the enemy's just screaming in my head. They're quiet. They're silenced. You know what I'm saying? They're gone. And I just in a physical, how it says, like, one breath. You know what I'm saying? I'm literally speaking Jesus, and Jesus is within me. You know what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit is surrounding me. You know what I'm saying? And then it's like, boom, the devil's no longer in the picture. You know what I mean? But it has to be a conscious choice that I got to make. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And so that's really, that's cool. So that was one thing, too, right, that I wanted to get into is, like, if you're battling, like, certain evils, we have a friend that's, like, always talking about, like, these evils that he has. And I love him. He's a good dude. You know what I mean? And so, and I know, like, everyone's struggles are different, but it's like it says in scripture that just to utter the name of Jesus, the demons tremble at it. That's scripture, like, that, and that's God's word, right? We can trust that with everything. That is the creator of everything, so we can trust that with everything. That the, trust me, the demons are not happy to even hear the name, right? And so the scripture I'm going to read, it's Matthew 8:28-34, and it says, and this is the story of Jesus, you know, casting out demons. And when he came to the other side, to the country of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men met him, coming out of the tomb so fierce that no one could pass that way. And behold, they cried out, these are the demons talking to Jesus, what have you to do with us, O Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time? Now a herd of many pigs was feeding at some distance from them. And the demons begged him, saying, if you cast us out, send us away into the herd of pigs. And he said to them, go. So they came out and went into the pigs, and behold, the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the waters. The herdsmen fled, and going into the city, they told everything, especially what had happened to the demon-possessed man. And behold, all the city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to leave the region. And so,
bro, I was literally going to say, are you going to talk about the pigs, bro? Yeah, I swear.
Because it's a true, like, it like significantly portrays what evil does and what the kingdom of God does. And we fall so hard into the temptations of the world thinking that they're going to bring us pleasure. But the reason that God tells us, right, tells us, like, hey, this is wrong, is because he knows what it leads to. Sin leads to death, and God knows that, right? And so God is trying to save us by telling us, it's not, I don't, you know, we struggle. I struggle heavily with sin. Like, even this week, dude, just, I was very angry with some of the people I work with. And I'm not, like, I'm got the Holy Spirit, right? Like, I know my promise. I know what I have in Christ. And so it's like, I should be just overjoyed with that and not be getting, you know, which we always sin, right? But that's what the world, right? That's the evil of the world. And so really my whole thing, which if you got stuff, because I'm going to tie what I'm kind of saying, go all the way around, but you got some stuff?
Right now? Are you done?
I got more, but I just...
No.
I'm trying to make sure.
I got somewhere to go for sure. Yeah, just so... Oh! Fumble. But just how Chris was talking about the evil in the world and you know, like, how God just wanted us to be with him, you know, and he knows that the evil separates us from him. He saw it from the beginning of creation, you know what I mean? So when he first made the world, obviously it was Adam and Eve, and then they populated the earth and they were fruitful and they multiplied, and God made human in his image. But what started to happen was it says in Genesis 6, it said, when humans begin to increase in the number on the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw the daughters of humans were beautiful and they married any of them they chose. Then the Lord said, my spirit will not contend with humans forever, for they are mortal. The days will be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterward. When the sons of God went to the daughters of humans and had children by them, they were heroes of old men renowned. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. So in that is saying, when it said the sons of God in verse 2, I was like, what does that mean, the sons of God? So I went into, what's it called, Enduring Word? Enduring Word, and that's just a basically an app that provides, like, context and deeper commentary on the Bible. And it was saying basically, like, the sons of God he was talking about, they were, like, angels, right?
Yeah.
And so angels then started to populate with women, like human women on the earth, right? And just from that alone, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't pleasing to God. And he saw, like, how in just so quick, every inclination, it said every inclination of the heart was evil all the time, to the point where God himself regretted, you know what I'm saying, making the people who were supposed to be made in his image. And so it just shows you how quick and easy it is to find that evil, to latch onto it, and then for that evil to just completely take over, you know? And to the point where he said, you know what? No, I'm going to start over. I'm gonna refresh, you know what I mean? And so what did he do? He found favor in Noah, and it's only because Noah was a righteous man. He was blameless. He was faithful. He was walking faithfully with God. And so God basically told Noah, when he was like 600 years old, told him to build an ark, Noah's ark, you know what I'm saying? We all know the story. And basically took two of every animal. He took him, his wife, his three sons, and his three sons' wives. And they got up in the ark, and God flooded the earth. He completely washed away every single person that was on the earth, except for Noah and the two of every animal in Noah's family, right? And that went on for, I think, it was 150 days, I think. 150 days, right? 150 days.
Yeah.
And then sure enough, it was a fresh start, clean slate, right? And even in doing this, when Noah and his family were then back on earth, you know, it was no longer flooded. It was all good. It was all clear. He knew that once again, the evil would come back, right? But he made a promise. He made a covenant with us that he would never again flood the earth. You know what I'm saying? He did say he would judge the earth by fire, but that's more end times. That's some Revelation stuff, like when Jesus come back. But his promise is shown to us by the coolest thing I probably ever read in the Bible. His promise, like the reminder of that promise he made never to flood the earth again, is shown to us by rainbows. You know what I mean? So we all see rainbows every time. Every time it rains, you see up in the clouds, up in the sky, there'd be a nice rainbow. And that rainbow represents God reminding us that he's never going to flood the earth again, even though he has all the power and authority to, because we are overrun by evil. We are wicked. Every inclination of our heart is still evil, even though he wiped away all the evil that was there before. You know what I mean? And even before he wiped them out, he said, you will have 125 years. The lifespan of that evil was only 125 years before he did flood the earth. You know what I mean? So even knowing what he was going to do, he gave them the chance, you know what I'm saying, to turn away from the evil. But did they do it? No. And do we do it now today? No, not a lot. Like Chris was saying, we are sinners, you know what I'm saying? Like, we struggle with sin. Our heart is still evil. But what God is trying to do in his power is reveal himself to us, to where we can then walk with him and become one with him, having a heart that is one with God, you know? Because when our heart is rooted in his love, the evil isn't as appealing to us, you know? The power of the Holy Spirit takes over our mind and our body, our soul. It is protected, and it's called. He's placed an anointing on us to, once we have received that Holy Spirit, you know, we were delivered from that evil. And for some reason, we keep trying to run back to it, you know, but we can't forget the ultimate power that's been placed in us by the sacrifice of Jesus, that Holy Spirit that then wants to take us away from the evil and bring us into his warm embrace, you know, because every time we choose God over evil, it's like this hedge of protection that's placed over us, you know. For some reason, it just brings you this peace that cannot be explained. It can only be said as God's power. It's God's good and perfect will. It's his good and perfect will for us to be one with him. That was his whole goal in making us, you know. His whole goal was to simply just be with us. We are created by him, for him, and in his image. And we have to remember that, and we have to hold on to that tightly. Because just like that rainbow is a reminder of he's never going to flood the earth again, we don't know when he's going to judge by fire, you know. It could be tomorrow. It could be right after this. We don't know. Nobody knows, you know what I'm saying? It could be another 1,000 years. But what it does say is he has made a promise to us, that he promised to be with us and that we will prosper when we are one with him, you know? And what it also says is by our faithfulness alone, generations of our family line will be saved, you know? So it's important right now, as we're suiting up, as we're going to battle with the evil every day, we remember the ultimate power that God is. Just in the act of flooding the earth, just in the act of removing the entire human race that he had created, you know, that is the definition of power, and that is the God that we serve today. So next time we start to struggle, you know, we have to remember that power. We have to look up in the sky and remember the rainbow. We have to remember his promise, you know, and have to remember that we have this ultimate power that we just have to grab onto. And he will do the work. He will do the transformation in our life. You know what I mean? His grace is more than enough to cover us. You know, every day we sin and we deserve wrath. But his mercy is covering us. You know what I mean? And that's something that is completely undeserved. But it's just him reminding us. It's a sheer act of power. You know, his sovereign power just being poured out on us every day. And so I just try to remember that. Like, God is power. You know what I mean? God is love. God is our protector. He's our friend. He just wants to be with us. You know, he doesn't want us to live in that evil. You know, he wants us to be with him. And really, no matter what you want to do, his will is going to prevail. And his will is always good and perfect. So it's like, we just got to try to grab onto that will. You know what I mean?
That's fire. I like, too, how you just went into God. So there you go. This guy, he told me there's five purposes of, like, God creating man, basically. And one of, like, the five purposes is for intimacy with man. Mm. He craves the relationship with you. And so, like, so this is really what I'm going to go into for God's power. Is, like, there's this constant question for people who don't believe in God, or who don't, you know, maybe even if you're in the faith, walking in the faith, you could still have this question of, like, why does God have pain and suffering and sickness and all of these things? And the true answer is because man sinned, and God cast us out, and the snake, right, in Genesis, the serpent tricks us. And so what happens is now man knows good and evil, where man did not know good and evil. Man gets consciousness and he knows good and evil, and so this evil gets kind of pulled into the world. But God, Jesus, right, the Trinity, is on this, like, constant rescue mission, basically. And so it's like, that's what it is, right? Before man was even created, God knew the serpent, the devil, is going to trick man. We're going to fall. He knows that his angels, who are made holy, are going to follow Satan into this hell, right? They believe the lie, the king of lies, and they follow Satan. And he knew that they were going to procreate with man, and he knew he'd have to flood the earth. God knew about Joseph, right? And if you read we talk about the story of Joseph, and how throughout that whole scripture it never says Joseph was better than this man, or that there's anything special about Joseph. God picked Joseph just because, like, there's nothing significant about him at all. And it's what it goes over and over again is, right, because God was with him, right, he's happy, he's okay, because it's God's will. He's even, like, the people love him, and it's because God made him in a way that he was lovable by people. It wasn't anything he was of his own doing. It was just how God made him. And you'll just see it over and over, story of Moses with Exodus. You'll see it again with like, the story of Job, right? God's will in that, right, that there was a purpose to it, all the way leading up into Jesus. Okay, and so what I was saying before is, and it's this, this is how I know that the Bible is written by God, and I explained this a little bit ago, and if you really want to know the power of God, is that he actually lives outside of the scope of time, because this book is written between, it's 66 books written by, I think, 33 people. It's something along those lines. It's close to that, and that all of these people are complementing each other in their in their writings. It's different books. It's from thousands and thousands of years, and that's proven. There's not any person who actually knows history that would disagree with that. And the reason that they can be put all into one book is because throughout tons of time is because God knew the plan from step one. God knew what was going to happen in Genesis, and he knew what was going to happen in Revelation, because he'd already seen the whole thing already play out. And so he's the one writing the book. We can trust in this word for so many reasons, but that's my biggest one, is that there's just no way that man could have somehow got together and written a book that's this like at this level. It had to have been something spiritual. And so it's true, right? Jesus does walk on earth, and he's living and breathing today. And what I was trying to say is this, is that you ask, well, why is there pain and suffering? And it's for the end all, like, glory of God, basically. We're going to see how powerful God really is when he destroys all evil. And you get a taste of that when Jesus comes here, right? In the beginning of John, it talks about that the light, right? The darkness can't live in the light, right? Like, the darkness just won't live. And the example I heard from my friend Nick was that if you light a candle in the darkest room, no matter how dark something is, if you put any type of light in there, you're going to see. The light always wins. And that's what you see with Jesus, is he's healing sicknesses. He's taking away all kinds of evil. And the demons are like, what? Like, they're like, you're going to destroy me, basically, right? Like, what are you doing here? You know, it's not a happy time for the demons, because they know God is good. He wants the best for man, and that he's coming here to start bringing away the sickness. And so what that should bring us is peace, because we know that in the kingdom that we have to come, there's no sickness, there's no evil, there's nothing to worry about. There's no blind, there's no lame. And that's because the power of God at the end times is going to crush evil and cast it out. It's going to be completely gone, and it's not going to win. It's going to lose a brutal battle, because the power of God outweighs so heavily the powers of evil. There should be no fear in our lives. It tells us 365 times, fear not. Why is that? Because we got God in our corner. Who's going to stand, right? What does it say? It says, if God is for you, who can stand against you? And that's like the truest statement I've ever heard. What's going to stand in my way? That's not to say that I'm not going to have pain in this life, and that people couldn't kill me, right, if it came down to it. But it only happened if it was inside the will of God. It would only happen if God said, that's okay. Right. And then I know for a fact that if God says it's okay, that it's for a real good reason. I can be okay. I can be assured about that, no matter what kind of pain, what kind of struggle I'm going through. Right. I know that his power is good. That's like the end all, is that you think of the power of God and like tremble at it for sure. Right. Because it is something magnificent. And when you really meditate on it, as far as even he speaks an entire universe into existence. That's it. I've never said the word of something and then something happened without some type of physical material thing happening, right? My last thing that I'll say, and I'm going to go into it a little bit later, is the difference between the physical and then the spiritual world. And, I mean, it's going to be, I got to meditate on it a little bit more before I really get into it, but I don't know, I was hearing this guy talk about it, and he's like, So God puts us into the material world and then gives us dominion over it, right? And that's what he tells Adam, is like, these, you name these animals, they're yours. And right, like, we have like this kind of power over this physical world. And God enters into this physical world in the form of Jesus Christ. So God leaves this spiritual realm and he comes into this physical world. And that's a lot of power to come into the physical world. And then when he comes into the physical world, he defeats evil. And then when he defeats evil, he leaves us his Holy Spirit. And if his Holy Spirit is also God, the Holy Spirit has also defeated this evil. And that's what he leaves us, right? And I wanted to go a little bit deeper into that, from the idea of the power that lives inside of you, right? The power of, like, of this God. And I'm going to read something out of Revelation and go real deep into that, because it's something to definitely meditate about. Unless you want me to keep going.
Bro, go, bro.
Go for it.
Run it up.
All right. So in Revelations, we get a description of God No person has ever met God throughout the entire Bible. What happens with John is he comes in the form of spirit, so he leaves his physical body, and in the form of spirit, he meets God, because God is so powerful that even when Moses asked to see him, God says, "You couldn't see me, it'd kill you instantly." Mm-hmm. You would die like that, because it's so bright, it's such a light, it's something that man could not live through in this body that we have, right? In this world, it's because it's something spiritual, right? But what happens is John comes in the form of spirit. He sees these angels. He sees all this crazy stuff. And this is really the picture I'm going to paint, and then I'm going to read something else, right? And so this is really, like, no matter where you're at, this is really what I want you to do, is I want you to really think about, you're alone in your bed. It's dark, right? No one is around. Okay, that this really happens, because this is a real, like, what I'm about to read is real life. It's not something that we see, but it's real life. And these angels and these demons, they're here right now in this world, roaming around. That is true. We can't see them, we can't touch them, but they're here in spirit, right? So this is what I want you to think about, is this, this is the angel that basically is shown to John. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And before I even read the next part, so these, you just imagine you're alone in your bed and you're sleeping and you wake up and there's this creature that you've never seen before. It's covered in eyes. We'll do the lion one. That one's pretty sick. Yeah, we'll do the lion. Because there's four creatures, right? But it's in the form of a lion, right? And it's covering all these eyes. It's got eyes inside and out. You've never seen it before. And you wake up and it's sitting right there, right? And it's just looking at you. You'd be terrified. You'd be completely terrified of what you just saw, right? Is this crazy glorified creature. And it even says, right, that John at some point bows down to an angel, and the angel rebukes him and says, "Stand up. I'm not God. Like, what are you doing right now?" Right? And John is a man of faith. He is a man with the spirit, and he can still, like, he looks at these creatures as something so beyond, because they are holy. They're set apart. They're nothing that we've experienced before, and he bows down to it in just a point of almost, I don't know, I could see how you would bow down to something like that, something so holy and magnificent. And what's crazy is that these beings, all they do all day and all night is glorify God. That God is so much higher above them that all they do is they scream, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And so now I'm going to read you what God, because he sees God on the throne, God the Father. And the whole story is basically Jesus is he sees Jesus first, and then Jesus opens this door, and then the Father says, "Come, like, come up here." He's telling him, "Come up here." There's actually a song called "Come Up Here," and it's this whole, actually this whole Bible verse, like the whole chapter kind of going into it. "After this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this.' At once I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, with one seated on the throne. And he sat there, had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. And around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments." Oh, it keeps going, actually. "Clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. And before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne, there was at it, were a sea of glass like crystal." That God right there is right now watching us, listening to us, and he's on that throne right now in this very moment. And he's looking down on us right now. That is truth. Okay? And what I've heard and what I love to say about that is, like, John isn't even really explaining God. He's trying his very best with the material world, what he actually knows people know about, to explain something that is just completely beyond what the mind could even comprehend. The power of God, like, just beyond, just, like, so beyond anything. Like, you can't even explain it. And he's just trying his hardest in human words to explain what he's experienced, talking about emeralds and bronze and rainbows are coming off, and there's thunder and lightning. All these noises are happening, and he's meeting the Father, the God on his throne, the God that's living and breathing right now, watching us. Okay, and so this is what I'm going to go into, is you see that, God the Father. It's three bodies, and they come in order. It's God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, God the Spirit. They are all God, though. Every one of them holds the power that is there. And what God does when Jesus Christ comes is he puts that Spirit in man, right? It's the seal, basically, of our salvation is when he does that. You're sealed. You're going to heaven. Your name is written in the book. It can't be taken out. And it's really sealed before even man is created, right? It says that, like I said before, right? Before the foundation of the world, right? And so what that means is God lives inside of you. That, like, that's the craziest thing to think about, that this being of just complete holiness, just completely different, it's just a crazy thing to think about. And then I sit here and I worry because I didn't get to a job until 11 o'clock. Like, I was pissed off this week about that. That was, like, a trouble of my week. It gave me a headache even. And it's like I have that living inside of me, and, like, what I'm worried about is that. And I was pissed off at the dude who made me not get there till 11.
Yeah.
That was my biggest struggle. And so that's something about God's powers that lives inside of you. And so the same God that was here casting out demons, and the same God that was healing people, is the same God that lives in you, and it's the same God that can heal people through you. And it's not because man is anything that spectacular. It's because he's that spectacular, because he has that power, because he's that good, right? And that he gifted it to us, and not because of my own doing, not because there's anything special about me. I'm actually a huge sinner. I'm an evil, evil person. And if I got what I deserved, it wouldn't be what I got. But because of his grace, he gave me that power. And it's something that, you know, I don't think that I take into account enough. And I definitely would preach to the person listening, like, realize what kind of a gift you really have. We're so upset about what's in the world right in front of us that we forget about the glory that is to come.
Dang.
Was that too much, bro?
Drop the mic, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Bro, I told you, bro. It's been 2 weeks now.
That was busy.
Yeah.
That was busy for sure.
Yeah, it's been loading up, bro. That's why I was afraid, dog, ahead of time. Because I was like, dang, he probably has no idea where I'm going with this.
Yeah, no, that was nuts.
Yeah. But I know he's going to pull out of Exodus.
Yeah.
But if you want to go something off that, I don't know where the Spirit's leading you. You look shell-shot, bro. Hey, 2 weeks of prayer and scripture.
That's all we got, folks.
Yeah, 2 weeks of prayer and scripture, bro. It'll do it, dude.
No, I mean, I think it's just we completely neglect that power that you spoke on. Mm. You know what I mean? Mm. We just push it to the side, and it becomes so much about us. And that evil that is in our heart, you know, every inclination of our heart is pure evil. And only by the transformative power of Jesus can that evil hardened heart be broken and then rebuilt in a heart of flesh, in a heart that's going to abide in God's love, you know. But we do it to ourselves every single time. We just take ourselves out of the game when God has clearly put us here in this game of life for a reason. You know, he has anointed us and he has called us to walk in his glory and his power, you know. And there's a reason that Jesus didn't come to earth and stay, you know. Jesus sacrificed to cover us, but then he also left us with the power of the Holy Spirit. And shout out JP. JP said that power of the Holy Spirit is greater than the power of an atomic bomb. You know, it can't even be like a nuclear explosion. Can't even be compared with the power of the Holy Spirit.
That's fire.
And that's within us, you know.
That's fire.
Like, that's Jesus living within us and flowing through us. And that's the reason that, you know, two dudes like me and Chris can even come in here and speak on this, is because the power of the Holy Spirit has entered our heart. You know, the minute we said yes to Jesus, he washed us clean and he poured that Spirit into us. And it's by nothing we did, and there's nothing that we can do. you know? I wrote here, I am going to speak on Exodus a little bit, but I wrote here, God is authority. If he puts something on your heart, do it fearlessly, knowing you will be protected and you will be rewarded. But not only that, when God puts it on our heart to do something, you know, he's going to make sure in the end of it all that his will prevails, you know. And that takes me straight into the story of Moses and his being a vessel to deliver the Israelites, you know. So Moses, you could say from a worldly perspective, from outside looking in, like he kind of started off fighting a losing battle, you know what I mean? When Moses was born, it was in a time where Pharaoh, who was in charge of Egypt, said he wanted to kill every son, every male that was born of the Hebrews, right? The Hebrew?
Yeah.
So Moses was born a Hebrew boy, a little Hebrew boy, you know what I'm saying? And when he was born, Pharaoh had said, kill every one of them. And basically, his mom, well, let me take it back a little bit because this part was cool. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shifra and Puah, when you are helping the Hebrew women during childbirth on the delivery stool, if you see that the baby is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, let her live. The midwives, however, listen to this, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. Then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live? The midwives answered Pharaoh, Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive. So God was kind to the midwives. God was kind to the midwives. Why? Because they feared God. And they didn't let this ruler, right? Someone who you say has authority over you. They didn't let what he wanted to do come in between what they felt God had put on their heart, right? And the people increased and became even more numerous. And because of the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own, right? So because of the fear of God, they were rewarded, you know what I mean? Because he had a plan, and his plan, when it, you know what I'm saying, when you're obedient to it, you're going to be rewarded in a special way. And in this reward, it was the deliverance of their people, right? Because then it went on to Moses being born. And Moses was born a Hebrew, and when his mom had him, she was afraid that he would be killed, so she took him and put him in a little basket and put him in the river and basically just walked away. She couldn't even watch what happened was going to happen to her own son. But what happens is, I guess he got caught up in some bushes, and it turns out that the Pharaoh's daughter found him, and when she found him, she was like, I need someone to take care of this baby. So she told the lady, it was Moses' aunt, basically, go find me someone to raise and nurse this baby, you know? And in God's good and perfect plan, the woman that ended up raising Moses was his own mother. So she nursed him, she raised him, and all this stuff. And Moses was then placed in a position of power, right? Because he was Pharaoh's daughter's son. You know what I'm saying? She kind of claimed him. He got his way into the palace, into the kingdom. And Moses knew who he was, you know? He knew who God said he was. And he was a Hebrew man, right? And so basically, story goes on. And there was one day where an Egyptian dude was basically beating down a Hebrew. And so Moses killed the Egyptian, and he hid him in the desert. He buried him in the desert. And he was afraid that Pharaoh was going to find out what he did and then kill him. So he runs away, right? And when he runs away, Moses fled to, went to Midian, and he was sitting by a well. And basically, a priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and it says that they came to draw water and fill the troughs with water to feed the father's flock. But some shepherds came along and, you know, were trying to attack the girls. Who knows what they're trying to do? Maybe kill them, maybe rape them. Who knows what was going on? But basically, Moses, he got up and he protected he protected the girls. He saved them from the people that are trying to attack them. And then he went on to water the flock, right? And so the dude, the father of these girls, heard what happened, and he invited Moses in. He, you know what I'm saying, ended up marrying one of the daughters. And so at this point, you know, while Moses was away with his new family and stuff, it turns out the king of Egypt at that time died. And the Israelites were basically turned into slaves, right? And so they didn't like it. You know what I'm saying? They had been faithful. They had feared God. And so how could they have ended up in this place of slavery? And it says God heard their cries, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And basically the Israelites were just basically the family line of Abraham. So we could go really far back, but let's just stick with that. They were the family line of Abraham. And so then Moses, he's out there, right? And he's tending to the flock of his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And that's when God comes to Moses in the way of a burning bush. It's literally, it's a bush, right? That's on fire. And Moses saw this, and he was like, why is this bush not burning up? So he goes over there, and then God basically speaks to him through the bush. And he tells Moses of his plan, that he wants to use Moses to go on and save his own people. You know, the Israelites that were the chosen people of God, and it was also Moses' family, basically, right? And so here we have this dude, right? It says Moses couldn't really speak. He definitely couldn't read. He was in no way special, right? He was just chosen by God. In God's infinite power, he chose Moses to deliver his chosen people, the Israelites. And Moses, of course, did what we do all the time. We doubt ourselves, right? We totally count ourselves out of the race before we even get to the line. And Moses is telling God all these reasons why he can't do it, right? And God told him, I will be with you. I will be with you. I am the Lord. I am who I am. This is what you were to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you, right? So God referred to himself as the great I am. And it says, this is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. And so he went basically back and he gathered the Israelites, right? And just long story short, this dude who had killed a man, buried him in the desert, ran away, you know what I'm saying, was fighting all these battles in his head. He couldn't talk very well. He had a lot of problems, right? From the minute he was born, he was, you know, trying to be killed. But God saw his will being prevailed in Moses' life. And so Moses, you know, he was hesitant for sure, but God had called him to it. So Moses stepped right into that position, right? And he went up to the Pharaoh, and he asked the Pharaoh just if the Israelites could go out and worship God in the mountains for, I think, like 3 days and offer sacrifices to please God. And, of course, Pharaoh didn't go for it, right? But throughout all this, we see God's good and perfect will prevailing, right? In every single aspect of this story, you know, I would recommend that you go in Exodus and you read this, because you'll see it's like one thing after another. It's like it doesn't make any sense to us, but for some reason, just God's will, everything keeps working out exactly how he wants it to, you know? And he used someone who in no way was special, right? And it all the way to the point where Moses was able to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, right? He then sent them on this path. They ended up at the Red Sea, and when they get to the Red Sea, you know, the people are worried, they're freaking out, they're like, God, why would you do this? You know, we weren't even that bad in Egypt, right? We were just slaves. At least we weren't about to die. Like, you're taking us all around in the desert. Now we're at the sea, and at this point the Egyptians were pursuing them, right? They're about to come and kill them. And what does God do? Splits the ocean. Split, like, literally, I'm talking about, like, we all know the ocean, right? Imagine it just like split completely in half, and there's a clear walkway, you know, all the way through the ocean. You just see everything going on in the ocean all around you, but you're walking through because of God's provision, right? His hand of protection has been placed over the people of Israel. They're his chosen people. And so they're going through. And as the Egyptians get closer and closer, God begins to crash the waters down on the Egyptians. And all the Egyptians die, and the Israelites are then delivered. They're free from slavery. They're free from the chains they were in. And they're no longer oppressed by the ways of the world, right? And that's literally what God wants to do for us, right? We count ourselves out. We don't see the worth and the value in ourselves. We have no even thought of who God says we are. We just think these lies that have been penetrating our head and our heart for so long, and we start to believe them, when all God wants to do is deliver us to the promised land, right? And he told them the promised land is a place flowing with milk and honey. And for us, the promised land he wants to take us to is a place where we can find the peace on earth that only he can provide, where we can find the comfort in him that makes this evil world not so dark. You know what I mean? He wants to bring the light to us. But it's a choice that we have to make. We have to submit to him and be obedient in the calling he's placed in our life, as Moses did. You know what I mean? And then eventually we'll go to heaven and we'll be with him, and there will be no more pain and there will be no more struggle. But while we are here, we got to be the Moseses. You know what I'm saying? We got to get God's chosen people, and we got to help deliver them from the sin, from the chains, from the bondage they're stuck in, you know? And so even if you're stuck in that place, like, don't get comfortable in that place, because when things got hard and the people, the Israelites started to doubt God, what did they say? You should have just left me in my chains. You should have just left me as a slave, you know? But that's not the mindset we need to have, you know? God has delivered us, or he's working on delivering us. Or if this is your first time even hearing of this, trust that he will deliver you, because it's his plan. And like it says in the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? On earth as it is in heaven. And in heaven, it's perfect. There's no pain, there's no suffering, there's no darkness, there's no sickness. Like Chris was saying, it is good and perfect. So we have to believe that his good and perfect will, just like it is in heaven, it will be on earth. If we just let him lead, if we just let him part that sea, he's going to deliver us, and he's going to break those chains that are holding us to the sin, holding us to the worldly possessions, that are holding us to these things that we're trying to find comfort in, when really the only true source of comfort is the power of God, you know? But it only comes from that place of submission. That's the only way to receive it.
Nah, it's tough. I don't know. I just started reading so much scripture, bro. I have no idea where to go from here, but
we just figure it out. Back next week. We won't get too busy. Find a good closing place for sure, but
yeah,
I think we covered a lot. And I know that that story of Moses was a little busy, so definitely dive back into it, you know what I mean? Because you'll start to, once you meditate on that word, you know, you'll see his will prevailing, and you'll start to believe that, you know, dang, if he could really do that, if he could split the sea, cut the ocean in half and make a walkway for his people, like, maybe all this depression, anxiety, this addiction, whatever you're walking in, like, you're going to start to begin to hope. You're going to have hope that God can and will do this in your life too, you know? But it starts with this right here. It starts with the word, you know? It starts with forming that communication with God, because if Moses wouldn't have talked to him in the form of that burning bush, he would have had no idea what he was called to do, and he could have missed out on the anointing God had placed on his life, you know? So we don't want to miss out on it. So definitely find some time for you to get in communion with God, where you just speak to him, you know, and then have him speak back to you in his word. It's very important. On to you, Chris.
Okay. So basically, this is what I'll finish off with. I started flipping around everywhere, and so now my brain's all confuzzled.
Busy brain.
I got a busy brain. But I guess just the thing I'll leave off with everybody is, I don't know, we talk a lot about the power of God, and it's I don't know, something to glory in, basically, to glorify his name in. There's so much joy in that, especially knowing that he is for us, that he's not against us. And that's, I think, a place that a lot of people live in, is that, you know, for some reason that, you know, he's out to get us, and that it's God's fault for our pain and for our suffering and all these things. And it's not the case at all. I taught a lot about God. He's gonna crush all evil. Like it has to be gone, you know. And something we taught about God's wrath actually is that's one of our episodes. Something we talk about is like, is it really, you know, is God really good if he lets evil exist forever? Because people will say, well, why is he gonna send all these people to hell? Well, it's because evil can't exist anymore. He's gonna crush all of it. And so what I think though is more powerful than that, like that's one thing, right, is to just completely get rid of it, is the fact that he can turn evil into good. That's a true miracle right there. And I'll say that as an example for myself. All I am is a beacon of God. There's nothing good about me. You know, I have this pastor and he talks about he's never been, you know, really, he never was set apart in any way that the world could have noticed him in. And I definitely relate to that. You know, I never really been the smartest, dropped out of high school. I didn't play sports because I wasn't good at them. Not very athletic. You can see my build. I'm not the biggest dude ever. I'm very skinny.
Mid physique
to the max. Never mind. I was gonna say something crazy. Yeah. You know.
Help me.
I'm covered in sin. I'm not rich by any means, right? That doesn't set me apart in the world. Basically, just the most. I'm an average Joe at the end of the day, right? That's all I am, is an average Joe. And so it's weird today, right? Like how people see me versus, you know, how I really am, right? What I mean by that is that what I am is a drug addict who does drugs, lives in his car, you know, and goes on to live this miserable, horrible life. And God revealed himself to me in all of his power and removed this horrible evil that lived in my life and replaced it with his goodness.
Amen.
And so what he did was he didn't crush me. He didn't just smash me down, because in all right, like I was saying, he could have done that, right, easily like that. He could have just, no breath, Chris Hart stops, go to hell, right? But he didn't do that. What he did is he saved me. He turned what was evil and he made it for good, right? And it's so that I cannot boast at all. And so it's like a lot of times people come up to me very frequently and they'll say, you say really good things, right? Like I speak on the podcast, I speak to people a lot, maybe in a prayer or something like that, which isn't that great, really. You can talk well, it's not the greatest, right? If I could heal people, I'd be sick, but God's good, right? He gave me what he gave me, and but that's what I'm trying to say, is like it's God who uses me as his vessel. It's God who gets the glory. It's God's will, it's God's power, right? And I'm so happy that that's what it is, right? That it's no longer me who lives my life, but it's him, that it's he gets to have it, right? I'm so grateful that I get to hand it over to him like that, you know. A lot of the stuff we read in scripture, I think we look at it in a way that's just wrong. It's like, oh, I have to do this or I have to do that. And it's like getting to the point where it's like, I want to do this and I want to do that. I'm grateful for it. I'm grateful to live a good life, you know. And it's all because of that, because he was able to do something that we could have never done here on earth. Mm-hmm. We were completely helpless, right? And I just read one thing and it was like, if two sparrows would be traded for, or if a sparrow would be traded for two pennies, why wouldn't he, and you're much more than a sparrow, so fear not, why wouldn't he care about you, right? And that's the truth of it. My last thing I'll say is, like, you know, I've been telling this to my friends because it's been my experience with scripture, and it still happens today, is that I read scripture, I get convicted, I don't want to read it. That happened when I started, and I just kept reading it and kept reading it and kept reading it. I had a heart of unbelief. I'd read things and I'd say, that doesn't make sense, because this doesn't couple with this, or whatever happens in God's word, right? Like sometimes I have a heart of unbelief that doesn't receive it. And this is what I tell people, pray about it. It doesn't mean that, you know, don't let it deter you, right? Like just keep on reading. You know, the word of God is a living word. You know, it is living. And it has the power to change your heart. It has the power to change your mind. It's a very powerful book that we have. It's called the Holy Bible for a reason, because it is set apart from all other books. And it has been maintained through tons of generations, even though it's been tried to be crushed, right? And so I just encourage people to get in the Word themselves. Go meet God for yourself. Don't listen to me and Wally about it, right? Go meet him yourself. Go have that intimate relationship with him, the best relationship that you'll ever have, right? Yes, sir.
Yeah. No, that's it right there.
Do you have prayer requests?
Nah, no one DM'd us. Y'all tighten up. Please send us prayer requests. DMs, we want to pray for y'all.
Topics.
We want to, you know, we care about you. And more importantly, God cares about you, you know? If you don't even know how to pray, or if you can't get the words out, or whatever the case may be, even if you just want to talk about something, please send us a DM, 79 Cent Salvation. You know, we would love to pray with you. We would love to pray for you. There, you'll find it. Don't worry about the underscore. It's too busy. But just the last thing I want to say is just simply, God will do for you what you cannot do for yourself. You know what I mean? Moses could not have gone from a killer on the run to delivering the chosen people of God in his own power. There's no way.
Couldn't even speak. I can speak.
Chris can speak. Yeah. Chris couldn't stop doing drugs and living in his car.
Yeah. Look at us now.
Look,
yeah.
We're on the podcast.
Look at us now.
Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. So look, just don't count yourself out, you know? There's a reason you're listening to this, and it's because God is knocking at your door, and he just wants you to answer, right? So just answer. Even if it starts out with just sending us a message, even if it starts out with just saying Jesus a few times in the morning, even if it starts out just very simple stuff, you know what I mean? Open up the book, get in the Gospels, John, Luke, Mark, Matthew. Start there. Start somewhere. Ask someone you know that believes in God, hey, who's God? What is God like? You know what I mean? Start forming those questions, and before you know it, you know, all that evil and darkness that seems to be running your life, the darkness, like Chris said, the darkness and the light can't be in the same place, you know. So once that light of Jesus Christ starts to come into your heart and your mind, the darkness is going to begin to go away.
Ooh, but just because you said that really quick.
Ooh.
But like this dude, he's like, when he wakes up in the morning, he's got all his evil thoughts. And so he gets on his knees first thing in the morning and prays. Mm. And then that light comes in and the darkness is gone. And so that way he can start his day with the light. And I love that as far.
Yes, sir.
But also, like, just to, like, keep on what he's saying, like, definitely DM as much as possible. Topics, questions.
Yeah.
If you got, you know, prayer requests. Literally anything that pertains to, you know, what our podcast is about.
Yeah.
And, you know, while he knows churches, he knows a fellowship, he knows people. So it's like, even if we don't have an answer for you, right? Like, it's, we can send you in the right direction.
We'll get an answer. Yeah. We'll find something.
So just,
so whatever you're battling, whatever you're struggling with, you know what I mean?
Don't feel uncomfortable about doing that.
Trust me, there's nothing you can tell me and Chris that would seem crazy to us.
Yeah. And we want to do it. Like, that's something that we want to do. Yeah. We want you guys to feel open and able to connect with us.
And share it with your friends, your families, you know what I'm saying? Like, the whole purpose of this podcast is to really just spread that love, spread the gospel. There's this love that me and Chris have been so graciously given, all glory to God, all by God, and we just want each and every one of you to come to know that love, to feel that love, to feel protected and accounted for every single day. So, you know, hit us on the page, 79 Cent Salvation, fire artwork, first episode recorded on video. Let's just pray that it all works out, you know what I'm saying? But
it all comes together.
We're going to keep trying. We're just going to keep trying. And we appreciate y'all for listening. So let's just close out with a moment of prayer. Dear Lord God, we thank you so much for this time, Lord. We thank you for this moment, God, where we just get to dive into your presence, God. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would fill us, Lord. Your Holy Spirit would pour out of this microphone, Lord, straight into the speakers and the hearts, Lord, the ears of those listening, God. Lord, I pray that, Lord, they would hear the knocks, Lord Jesus, Lord. They would hear you knocking at their door, God, and they would answer. Lord, they would answer in obedience, Lord, not with the expectation to be perfect, not with the expectation to be anything special, Lord God, just with the expectation to receive your love, God. So, Lord, just pour your love out on the listeners, God. Lord, I pray that they would come to know your heart, God. And, Lord, I pray that their names will be written in the book of life, Lord God, as your name is written on their heart, God. Lord, we are your creations, God. Lord, we are made in your image, God. Lord, allow us to respect you and honor you in that way, God. Lord, I just ask the spirit of protection, Lord, to cover those listening, God. Lord, I just ask their hearts to be encouraged by this message, God. And Lord, I just pray that thy will be done, Lord Jesus, Lord. Lord, thy will be done, Lord. Your good and perfect will to prevail in the lives of those listening, God. Lord, we love you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you, God. In your almighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And that's a wrap.